Something I was going to point out to you about that too. There it is. So, before I even get into a reminder of things that already studied, we're going to start in verse 16. But before we do, we had already studied the fact that the Lord had broke out speaking in parables. We said in Luke chapter 8, there's only two parables. Mark chapter 4, there's four parables. In Matthew chapter 13, there is seven parables. So they're all, each one of those, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, sometimes they're not always teaching the same thing at the same time, but those chapters seem to follow the same pattern that Luke has as far as where he's at in Galilee and the movement that he's making and the events that take place. They seem to be matching in chronological order. But Luke only gives us the two. And so we got in chapter 8 of Luke, we immediately got introduced to the women who were following him. And I was telling you that Luke chapter 8 is leading up to the conclusion of his Galilean ministry, which is concludes in chapter 9 of Luke. But everything intensifies, like is emphasized, gets greater and greater, like in the first verse of chapter 8. He's teaching in every city and village in Galilee. So he's reaching several. And then it names the women that were with him. And then verse 4 talked about much people gathered. Last week, there's a couple things that I just wanted to clarify. That when we went through the parable of the sower and the seed, I wanted to compare two verses. Like, for instance, if you look at Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, it says, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God." And then I took you to Matthew, and I couldn't find the verse. Larry, when he was editing the program, said, "Man, that was a big, long pause," because I was looking for the verse. And I said, "Oh, here it is." And I gave you the wrong verse. And I made a comparison, which threw me off from what I wanted to say by making the comparison. So look, do this with me so I could just make it, even though we're past all that. You got Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, but hold your place and get Matthew chapter 13. And it's verse 19 that I was looking for. It was there in my notes. I just couldn't find where it was in my notes. Matthew chapter 13. Now, in Luke chapter 8, in that verse 11, in the explanation of the parable, the Lord explains, he said, "Now the parable is this, the seed that the sower is seeding, throwing out in the field. The seed is the word of God." But now look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, where the Lord's explaining it, and it said it this way. "When one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not." So the point is that the seed that's being sown, as it's explained in Matthew, is called the word of the kingdom. Luke said, the word of God. Well, when the word of God, that's a big book. What part of the word of God is the seed representing? It's the word of the kingdom. And that's extremely important because you realize, as I was saying even in the introduction here, the difference between the gospel, the kingdom, and the gospel, the grace of God. The seed, the parable, the sower, the seed is the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. And that part of the word of God. When you rightly divide the word of truth, you realize there is a different message that was given to the Apostle Paul about the cross work of Christ. And the gospel there is not good news about Jesus Christ coming to set up a kingdom. The good news of the gospel of the grace of God is the good news of what's been accomplished by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as a payment for our sin. And so it's extremely important difference to make. One of those things that makes that important is something else I wanted to point out to you. And that is if you look at Luke chapter 8, I don't have to make a cross reference for this one. When it talked about the seed that's on the wayside, it's those that hear it, they don't understand, and the devil takes away the thought. But those in verse 12, it says, verse 13, they that are on the rock, the seed that falls on the rock, are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these having no root, which for a while believe, and in the time of temptation, fall away. Now that idea of believing and then falling away, they don't make it into the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom is they that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And you see it again in the last parable, in verse 14. It says, "And that which falleth among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit." I threw the word forth. Pleasure of life, and bring no fruit to perfection. So there's no fruit. And the point of that is in verse 15, they that on the good ground, they bring forth a hundredfold of fruit. The point being, and as I concluded last week and related it to the gospel of the kingdom, you can see that in the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, you can see the tribulation in these statements. First, like in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and the 12 apostles, they go out and preach, and some is falling by the wayside. But then in the first part of the tribulation, there's some people that hear the good news about the kingdom, and they rejoice and believe for a while, but temptation comes. They're going to be forced. The idea of the tribulation coming and the temptation to take the mark, and they're going to fall away. Then you go into the second half of the tribulation, the great tribulation, where the mark is already there, and those that fall among thorny ground are they that go on, but they get choked out by the cares, riches, and pleasure of this life. They're trained to hang on to this life rather than looking at the eternal, the kingdom, and as a result, there's no perfection, no fruit to perfection in their life. But those that are on good ground, they have fruit unto perfection, as it says at the end there, it says, and bring forth fruit with patience. They're patiently waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the more we study the book of Revelation, you'll realize how much patience is talked about. I think we ran verses in the book of James last week concerning the patience waiting for Christ to come. So that's just like a review about the gospel of about the sower, the parable of the sower of the seed. But Luke gives another parable, and I want to read it to you and realize that even though it's another parable, you need to keep that other parable in your mind. Watch this. Verse 16. Luke 8:16. "No man, when he hath lighteth a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it, under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter may see the light. For nothing is secret, that shall not be made manifest, neither is anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him it shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him it shall be taken away, even that which he seemeth to have." So the point is when you get, he tells the parable about the candle and the candlestick, but then he concludes it in verse 18, "Take heed therefore how ye hear." Well, when you study the parable of the sower and the seed, it's all centered around how you hear. And so when we get to the candlestick, it's still about how you hear, and the warning that there are those who don't hear, or the ones who do hear, they're going to be given, and the ones who don't hear, it's going to be taken away even what they have. And if you look back to chapter, well, the same chapter, but verse 8. When he finished giving the parable, not the explanation of the parable, but he gave the parable, then he explained the parable. But when he gave the parable, he concludes in verse 8 by saying, "And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." It's all about the gospel of the kingdom being preached and how it's being heard. Some it's not heard at all, just falls by the wayside. Others, there's some rejoicing and believing for a while, but when temptation comes, they fall away. So they heard, but they didn't hear well. And then there's those that hear, but the cares of this world, they get choked out by the cares of the world and the riches of the world, because at the last part of that tribulation, they're going to have to be able to give up the riches of this world and the cares of this world and even their life in this world to enter into the next life. And so that finally takes a lot of people away where they are not perfected to the end. Pete asked a question about that believing, because that is interesting how Luke points that out. Let me point out something to you here. Hold Luke and get to John chapter 2. And this is early in the book of John. But it says in John chapter 2 and verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. So many believed in his name, but he didn't commit himself to them. He knew the kind of belief that they had. They believed he was a miracle worker. What it in their faith, that, you know, you got this believing here and believing in his name, and his name means Savior. But he doesn't commit himself to them because he knows what's in them. And the difference is what I'm pointing out between the gospel of the kingdom. They need to believe, but they need to believe all the way to the end. They can't give up their faith. And when it comes to us and the gospel of the grace of God, I think of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, when it says, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. What a difference. The moment we believe, we're sealed and saved, and we're sealed unto the day of redemption till the Lord takes us home. But that's not true in the gospel of the kingdom. They had to have faith unto perfection. They had to have a mature faith that was going to see them all the way through. Otherwise, they're going to be cut out. So when we get to the parable of the candlestick here, the warning is, take heed, therefore, how ye hear. And so he's still dealing with that issue. Now, the issue of the candlestick and the taking heed, how they hear, the candlestick, when we think about this, the candlestick represents the light of the word of the kingdom. If we're talking about the gospel of the kingdom, we're talking about the word of God, but the particular part of the word of God is the kingdom. Certainly the light that is to be seen is the word of the kingdom. So back in verse 16 of Luke 8, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel or putteth it under a bed. Now, Jesus Christ is giving the light of the kingdom in his preaching. And he's not giving it to be hid. He's giving it to shine out. He says, so no man puts it under a vessel or puts it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick. So you don't just take a candle and lay it even on the floor. You put it on a candlestick so it's in the, you know, center of the room like and lights the whole room. Put it on a candlestick that they which enter might see the light. You know, we ended Sunday where it talked about, I told you what I could have ended the week before on Sunday, where, what was the song? my mind doesn't go there. Anyhow, the song here is, I See the Light. It's a gospel song that people sing. But that's the whole point, is the Lord is giving out this word, and the nation of Israel that he's preaching to are to be that candlestick that's taking the light of that truth and shining it forth. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Well, if you relate that to the previous parable, which we were already tied into the previous parable, that you're talking, that darkness that we're talking about here is the darkness of the tribulation. And in that tribulation, that is when the nation of Israel is to shine that light of the kingdom to the world. And so nothing in secret that shall not be made manifest. Those hearts of how the word of God is and how people are receiving it, there is within the nation of Israel those group of people that say they believe, but they're not going to endure. And it's going to be made manifest as that tribulation comes, who really has the light and is going to shine that light forth. Neither is there anything hid that shall not be made known and come abroad. Everything's going to be exposed as you go through that tribulation. That's the whole purpose of the tribulation, is to expose that. But the point being is that the nation of Israel are called on God. The reason he called them out is to make them a light to the world. Hold your place in Luke. Come to Matthew chapter 5. Now this is, we teach children this passage of Scripture, and rightfully so, because there's application from all Scripture, that we are to be lights in the world. Now we could actually get that by reading Ephesians chapter 5. We're now the light. But when you read here in Matthew, and many times we give this as memory verses to children, this is really speaking about the nation of Israel. We call this the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ blessing the nation of Israel, telling them who's blessed, because what they have to do to go into that kingdom, they're going to have to do some things. But he says in verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now that's the nation of Israel, and that's why God called them out to be a light to a dark world. The darkness is fast approaching of that tribulation. But here the nation of Israel is not receiving that light. They're actually taking that and putting it under a vessel and hiding it. And they're supposed to be the light of the world, and they're supposed to shine that light out. And the gospel of that kingdom in the believing remnant will make manifest who the true believers are and who's not. We could go through different illustrations of that, that the reason that God is going to allow martyrdom to take place in the tribulation is to expose the faith of some, and to expose faith or to make manifest that there is no faith in others. So the ones who have the light, they're going to make manifest the truth of God's word, and nothing's going to be hid as you go through that. On a side note, I told you before, and it just hit me, I forgot about this until driving in today, that when we started studying the book of Luke, I said that when you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, well, even if you throw John in there, the chronological order of things aren't always clear. And one of the reasons is that there might be a spiritual reason that Luke just teaches it in a different place. But I suggested to you that there are times in which if they're quoting the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, if he said it over here, doesn't mean he's not, when he gets over here, is not going to say it over there. Well, we just looked at the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, where he talks about a candlestick under a bushel. That's what we're reading about in Luke chapter 8, and that's probably years later. It's certainly a different time. This is not Jesus, in Luke chapter 8, is not Jesus Christ on the Mount giving the Sermon on the Mount. But it's teaching the same thing. But the same thing in two different places, two different groups of people. So there's one of those illustrations where you have some teaching, and it's the same teaching, but it's taught at a different time. And certainly, you know, any preacher goes somewhere and preaches, he might preach the same thing somewhere else that he taught where he was. And that's an illustration of that. So I thought, oh yeah, I knew that illustration was going to come up. I forgot it was here. So I want to just bring that to your attention. But anyhow, the whole thing is in about the light of the candlestick is that everything's going to be made manifest in that tribulation. And he that hath ears to hear are those that are going to be hear with a proper heart and become and give that light. And those that have ears that really don't hear, they are the ones that the light is going to be taken from them. They're going to be in darkness as that tribulation comes. So that's the parable there of the candle and the candlestick. So Luke chapter 8, verse 19. Now let me read the verse to you, the section to you, and then start make some comments. It says, Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, Thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. So again, we're still dealing with that hearing. You see the connection here. But not only those that hear the word of God, but also says, and do it. And we're, you know, just the gospel of the kingdom, it's not just hear and believe only. It's hear and do what God said to do. And the Lord makes that point, that those that are really his mother and brethren are those that hear the word of God and do it. Now, in this section of verses, first of all, let me tell you, I gave it a title, The Lord's Inclusive Love for Those That Follow Him. And I say that because it depends how you read this, how it's going to affect you. First of all, in these two verses, when it says his mother and his brethren, what we're talking about is Mary and her other children, the half-brothers and sisters of the Lord. Here he's in Galilee, so he's not far from where they're at. They come, but they can't, the press, I mean, there must be a lot of people that are listening to the Lord speak, and they can't get close to him. They're like in the crowd, and then someone, and we don't know who it was, it just says a certain person, tells the Lord, your mother and your brethren are out there, and how does it say that? It was told him by certain which said, thy mother and thy brother stand without, desiring to see thee. And then the Lord just simply makes that statement that he makes. But so the point is that the mother and the brethren are talking about his mother Mary and his brethren that are listed, like in Mark chapter 6. We pointed these out before. In verse 3, this is when he first went to Capernaum. Is it Capernaum or Nazareth? But anyhow, it says, in verse 3, it says, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joes and Judah and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were all offended at him. So, here, when he comes to his hometown, Nazareth it is, that the people are recognizing, hey, this is Jesus who grew up around here. And his mother is Mary. And then it names his brothers. And he's got four half-brothers. So that Mary and Joseph, it says that Joseph knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary was a virgin until Jesus Christ was born, and she didn't remain a virgin. She and Joseph got married, and then he has four young men from her, four sons from him, and those sons are named. James, that's who writes the book of James. Joes, and then there's Judah, which wrote the book of Jude. He's actually called Judas, so that's a derivative of the name in Matthew, and Simon. So there's four. The Lord Jesus Christ has four half-brothers. Joseph had four sons with Mary. And then it says, and are not his sisters, and that's plural. So there's at least two. So there's a half a dozen siblings of the Lord that are half-siblings because of Mary and Joseph had children after Jesus Christ was born. What's interesting is, In all the adult ministry of the Lord, you never read about Joseph. And the most likely is what everyone says is he's perhaps passed away by this time. And so there's just Mary and the children that are left. And those are half brothers of the Lord. And so that's what we're talking about, coming to see him. Now, there are those who would say, and they try to protect it. Some people call those names his cousins rather than his brothers. And then other people, they say that when you read this section that we're studying in Luke, that your mother and your brethren are out there, and he says, who are my mother, who's my brethren? That brethren there really doesn't mean his brothers like through his mother Mary. They're just saying that fellow disciples are out here pressing, which is really a ridiculous argument. It's weak, but it's actually ridiculous. And the reason they do that is people want to believe that Mary is a perpetual virgin, that she never had any other children. And so when you realize that they're being told your mother and your brother are out here, they got to say, they got to find some way to get rid of those verses and how's Peter say it? Wrest the scriptures, twist the scriptures to their own destruction. And so they try to say that. But if you just read the context of what we're looking at in Luke chapter 8, verses 19 through 21, in verse 21, he says, the brethren out here standing in front of me, these are my mother and my brethren. So the argument that the disciples, the followers of the Lord, are brethren is the argument that the Lord is just now making. Not an argument that this person says your brethren are here to see you. So it just shows you the weakness of their argument for that. Now the other part, when I read that, and it does hit me this way, that here Mary and his brothers, they should have like a special entrance to him. I mean, they're related to him, and it's almost like the person who said this to the Lord is, thought the Lord might say, "Hey, make way, let these people come. These are my mother and my brothers." But instead, the Lord says in verse 21, and he answered and said unto them. So the man asked him a question. We got a single man who said, "Here's the situation." But then the Lord speaks to the whole group that are pressing him, the whole mob of people there. He answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these, so that's the group, which hear the word of God and do it. Now that might not be everybody in the group, depending on if they had ears to hear, like when it said there in verse 18, take heed how you hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the people who have ears to hear are hearing with faith and doing the things that God said to do. And so he's calling those that hear and do the things that he's saying, they are the ones that are his mother and his brethren. So is that to exclude Mary and the brethren? And that's why I entitled this, The Lord's Inclusive Love for Those Who Follow Him. It's not that he's excluding Mary and his brothers. He is actually including all who follow him in true faith as being equal to Mary and his brethren. Now, could you imagine telling someone, say, of the Catholic religion, I'm equal to Mary? But that's exactly what the Lord is saying here. That's his mother and that's his brethren. But he says, these are my mother and brethren, those that hear and do the things that I'm saying. And he's actually taking the believers and bringing them up to the same level as Mary. He didn't really put Mary down. He brought everybody up. Now, just as an illustration of this, Cindy, that comes to church, her daughter, Shiloh, has asked me this question several times. She knows the answer, but she has a hard time with it. She has a hard time believing or thinking, it's not believing, it's just thinking about it, that in the resurrection, that she's going to love everybody in heaven with the same love that she has for her father, who's now passed away. And that bothers her. She wants to love her dad above everybody else for all eternity. And you respect that. And I tell her, I said, no, you're going to have perfect love when you get to heaven. You're going to have resurrected. You're going to have the love of Christ in you, where everyone will be equal to how much you love your father. But that means he's not above them anymore. So I understand. And when I read that passage, I realize, you know, that she's conflicted with that, that, you know, in the resurrection, we're going to have the mind of Christ. She will no longer think that way. She will think the way that you ought to think. But that just tells you in this passage of Scripture that those that are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, how much they're loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. when we think about us in the dispensation of grace, and us and our identification as members of the body of Christ being placed into Jesus Christ, that we're, Ephesians says, the great mystery is we're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. This is a great mystery. He talks about man and wife becoming one flesh, but the great mystery is we're one with Jesus Christ. And that identity with Jesus Christ, that we're loved of God the Father, equal to his Son, because we're accepted in the Beloved, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that those are high and lofty thoughts that are far beyond on human comprehension, but yet it's the truth of God's Word and how we are accepted and how God accepts us, and that we'll always be we'll be holy and without blame before him in love. So, again, you see the benefits of those that have the ears to hear in that passage of Scripture. Then we come to verse 22 of Luke chapter 8. And this is where I told you at the introduction that everything seems like it's enhanced. Like we started out the first verse. He went to every city and village. Everything is just kind of multiplying. Well, here the disciples are going to see, and they're going to wonder at the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I actually subtitled this section, When They Thought They Saw It All. Watch, in verse 22. And it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship and his disciples and said unto them, let us go over the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were, they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were, they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were, they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were, they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were, they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were, they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were, they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were, they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were, they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were, they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were, they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were, they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were, they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were, they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were, they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were, they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were, they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were, they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were, they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were, they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were, they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were, they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were, they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were, they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were, they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. It's just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. It's just perfect. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they were they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even